Thanks for listening to season 4 of the Utah Real Estate Podcast.
The most downloaded series in the whole state and possibly the world.
Hello, I'm Steph Scholl here with the one and only Silver Dollar Man.
Also known as Scott Stevenson. This year, we are consulting with community leaders about the future of the Beehive State.
And how you can best secure a house for your home.
Join the thousands.
And my mom.
That subscribe every Thursday for the most exciting hour of the week.
All you listeners have heard Scott moan about how Utah is lacking in water, unlike the East Coast.
Well, it is.
Well,
Stephanie.
Silver Dollar Man, you are going to love this episode because we're going to learn all about water.
Well, I'm going to love this episode. If it's learning about water, that's where, you know, coming from the East Coast and going to the ocean all the time, I just dying to hear about water here in Utah.
Oh, boy.
We have Linda Towns-Cook, and she has over 30 years of experience at the Jordan Valley Water Conservatory District. And her job title is the Public Information Manager. So Linda knows a ton about water.
I'm a little worried, though, because you said you're going to learn all about water. We're going to scratch the surface maybe today.
And that is like your true PR.
That's so true.
Okay, Linda, I'm interested in learning about the Jordan Valley Water
Conservancy.
Conservancy.
That's why I gave you that word, Scott, I know I would mispronounce it.
So what is it?
Well, we were established by the legislature back in 1951, and our job is to make the best use of water available. So whether it's through development, conservation, whatever that means or looks like for the people in our service area, we're here to make sure they get the water they need.
What is the service area?
It's most of the southwestern part of Salt Lake County, where everyone except for Salt Lake City, Sandy City, White City, there are a little few pockets. Originally, we were the unincorporated part of Salt Lake County, and then as it's filled in, but we serve almost 1 million people every day.
Whoa.
Well, it's even older than I am.
So. Which is surprising.
Yes, there's nothing older than me.
So where does this water come from? I want to learn about water for dummies here, you know, because I feel like I don't know anything about it. And the other day I talked to you on the phone and you're like, oh, we are opening up this rabbit hole once we start talking.
It's a rattle.
So where does water come from?
Comes from your tap. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I know.
That's where it came from when I started 30 years ago. It's like, you just turn on your tap and water comes out. Sometimes we are victims of doing our jobs too well. Your water comes from the Provo River if you live within Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District's area. Those are cities like Bluffdale, Riverton, West Jordan, South Jordan, West Valley. Those are some of the cities that we serve.
That's me.
So Provo River is about 80% of our supply, and then about 20% is groundwater or wells within the valley.
So I'm surprised because we've done a few episodes about Little Katma Canyon, so our water isn't coming from there.
That's Salt Lake City.
Oh.
So what's the difference as far as the water? I mean, does one taste better than the other? Is there one that...
Ours tastes the best.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is there more minerals in one?
Yes.
Is there a refinery? You know, what's the process of that?
Oh, okay.
I mean, not too...
Here we go. This
yeah,
is where
I don't
want to
take you too far down and lose people, but, you know, just kind of a... Get in the top.
So Salt Lake City has different sources than we do. One of the reasons we have Provo River is because we negotiated an exchange with farmers decades ago. Mm-hmm. Because we had rights in the Jordan River, and no one wants to drink the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we negotiated an exchange with farmers who had rights on the Provo River, and now we swap them out. And the Provo River is one of the most pristine drinking sources in the nation.
Really?
So, yeah. And in Utah, we have hard water because it is a lot of minerals, but minerals add taste. So that's why it tastes so good.
There you go. We're giving up. We're getting taste for the hard water. If it hits your car, it stays on your car.
Yeah. Well, and for another episode, we can talk about water softeners because there's so much. It just goes off in all kinds of directions.
All the questions, right? So as Utah is getting expanding, right? And all these developments. I mean, we're talking about this, I feel like, on every episode. We're sort of beating a dead horse talking about density planning. But how is that important when it comes to water?
It is everything when it comes to water.
Ooh, tell us all.
And this it's like an expose.
Yeah.
This is the one piece that a lot of people don't think about. So developers, realtors, it's a big deal. And we as water providers need to know what your plans are so we can plan. And we're the only company I've ever heard of, the only agency, whatever, that plans 50 years into the future.
Whoa.
I don't know of any other businesses that plan that far into the future. We have to, because it takes that long to develop a new source or to procure a new source. So we're constantly out looking and planning. 50 years.
Like a new source of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what could that be?
One of them is the Bear River. We hope, fingers crossed, we hope we never have to develop it, because there are so many new environmental regulations and there's a lot of pushback. A lot of people don't want to see it developed, and we don't blame them. We would love to never have to do that, but that is one source in the future. However, the best source we have right now is what we're already using. We need to conserve. We need to use it more efficiently. So hopefully we're going to talk about that today. So when you talk about density, or you talk about growth in Utah, we've done our job so well, people just assume that there will always be water.
Yeah.
We've been saying that we're running out of water for about 20 years now. And with the drought, it's here. It's here. We're starting to have to implement regulations and new standards. And it's going to be a big change. And I think people are going to start feeling it really soon here.
It's never important until you got a problem.
Right.
It's
right?
kind of like you take for granted everything, electricity. You take it for granted, you know, you just flip on a switch, it comes on, and you just go about your day. And water, as I think you've indicated, is kind of the same way. You just turn it on and there it is.
So I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, you know the worth of water when the well runs dry.
You just take for granted, oh, you can flush your toilet, or you could take a bath.
Do your laundry.
Yeah, do laundry, everything.
Make your soup or
water your lawn.
Yeah. And that's the piece, that's the key piece right there, Stephanie. People don't think of, when we say, how much water do you use every day? People go, I don't know, 50 gallons, 100 gallons. It's more around 200 gallons because people don't take into consideration their lawn watering. It's it's separate, so they don't think about it. And that's what we're trying to get people to think about. And depending on how land use is planned in the future, will determine how quickly we run out of water.
Well, and if we run out of water, what happens?
We stop building.
Yeah. Oh, it stunts everything.
Everything.
You can't have anything without water.
No.
That's what I've said, Stephanie. You can't have anything without water.
It's true.
So, I mean, this is kind of, I think would be a shocking point to most people, because that's the last thing on their mind. We're going to run out of water, because somehow water is forever going to be there. So developers, they obviously know, but I would think they would know. Do they? Do they think about that?
I think they're starting to know. There is good news. Like, I don't want to be here a doom and gloom person. Yeah. I don't want to say, the sky's falling. Because the good news is we use 60% of our drinking water on our lawns and our landscapes. So even
60%?
60%. So when you think about it, that's more than half our water. So even if things got really, really dire and the drought was extreme, I'm sorry, all you lawn lovers out there. We are not advocates of removing all of your lawn. We believe in that turf has a place. But if it's between getting a drink and taking a shower versus letting your lawn live and thrive, what's it going to be? And that's really what it could come down to.
Well, I know that when we moved here a few years ago, Stephanie knows, I always bring up the water, you know, back on the East Coast. And my father-in-law would always say, you guys live in a desert. I mean, what are you expecting? And I think sometimes what happens is that as time has gone on, you think of the Salt Lake Valley as a metropolitan area like any other area, but we still are in a desert.
One of the things that we hear all the time, and it's kind of funny because it's not apples to apples for starters, but we hear, you're the second driest state in the nation and you use more water than anybody. I'm like, it's because we're the second driest state in the nation. We really are the second
driest.
Mm-hmm. Nevada, right behind Nevada.
Man.
Yeah. But that's why we use water, because we don't have it. It doesn't just fall from the sky all the time.
Well, and it was a little bit unusual moving here from the east because, of course, I never watered my lawn there. Yeah. Just automatically.
Lucky.
Yeah. And then here it was like, I get these sprinklers set up, they're breaking. And then, of course, to have a lawn that looked nice, you have to water it a lot.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing. Perfect segue. Why? Why do we grow grass here if we're in a desert? That's the question we've been asking. Kids are like, families are like, I need my kids to have somewhere to play. Great. Make a space for them to play. Make a space where you want to hang out and loll around in the grass. I don't ever do that, but I guess some people do. Send your kids to the park. There are really great uses for turf. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to say turf is the bad guy. But we're trying to force a landscaping style here that just doesn't work. It doesn't fit. And I read recently that turf is actually the largest crop that's grown in the United States. And what's the benefit? So kids can kick a ball around?
Yeah.
That's a benefit for sure. But it doesn't... see, Stephanie, I could go on.
Hey, this is your soapbox. It's okay. It's giving us a different opinion.
Yeah.
I grew up with the opinion that your lawn needs to be green and that it needs to have lines as...
Yeah, like you perfect lines.
Yep,
yeah.
And that is beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, you drive past that and your mouth starts watering a little bit. Yeah, that's a beautiful look, but it's one that came from England and the East Coast, mm-hmm. somewhere where the rain falls from the sky and they get free water.
Yeah, right.
Out here, it doesn't make as much sense. We actually championed a program called Localscapes. I don't know if you've heard of it,
mm-mm.
but it talks about localizing your landscape, localscaping, so that it actually makes sense where you live and you use plants that thrive here instead of requiring a whole bunch of water. It talks about ways to irrigate differently. It's localscapes.com. I invite you to take a look at it. It's really pretty cool. The genesis of that was at my company.
Well, a neighbor of mine I know put in just artificial turf, kind of. I don't know what exactly it is, but it's artificial. It doesn't need to be watered. And it looks actually pretty good. I mean, if you get up and put your feet on it and quite feel like, yeah, it's not quite like, you know, grass, but as far as aesthetically and being able to be used, I thought it looked pretty good.
So pros and cons. If you like the permagreen lawn and you don't ever want to have to fertilize, great. That's a great option. If you want to walk around on it in the middle of summer, you're going to burn your feet if you're barefoot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't put anything back into the environment. Mm-hmm. Like there's no carbon emission reduction. There's no cooling effect. So there are cons as well.
Yeah.
We believe in plants. We believe in the right plants. We want to see green. We want to see colorful. We don't want to see cactus and lava rock any more than the next guy. If we don't change the way we think about landscaping, we will run out of water faster.
I mean, I love going to St. George and how it's landscaped down there. Like it feels like you're going to a different place with the palm trees and like the red rocks and stuff.
Northern Utah deserves its own look too. We've been so conditioned to expect lawns and green lawns that it is a big shift. But when someone builds a home, and this is where I'm pleading with homeowners or developers, when you put in a home, I know sod is super easy. It's cheaper, it's easy. You just throw it down, the house looks great. That's an easy solution. But that will stay there for decades, probably generations, because it's not until you're well-established in your home and you've got a little bit of extra income that you can go, oh, I'm ready to update the yard. Like when you're building a house, you put all your money into the house.
Right.
And you should. No one ever thinks about the landscape. And I'd like people to start thinking a little differently about that.
So what are some plants and stuff that don't require water as much that are natural?
So if you think of plants that do well in the Mediterranean, they do well here as well. There are a lot of, think perennials instead of annuals. A lot of people plant petunias. So you'll see petunias lining a bed or marigolds. Mm-hmm. And that's just because that was what worked other places. But here you want to think perennials. You want penstemons. You want bulbs. Bulbs are amazingly water efficient. So you get that flush of spring color and they're there when the soil is still moist and then they come up and they're perfect. They're great. Trees and shrubs. There are lots of trees and shrubs that are native to this area. Natives are probably ideal. But we know people don't always love mountain mahogany. So you go and you do some research. Localscapes can link you to Conservation Garden Park, which has probably 1,500 different plants on their website that you can go look at them and see them in the garden and go, wow, that's really pretty. And we had someone show up to the Conservation Garden Park once, and they said, can you show me where the water wise plants are? And we're like, you're here. This is it. And they're like, oh, this is water efficient. I mean, it blew their minds, because we don't want to see dry. And like I said, cactus and lava rock, but you can make it lush and beautiful and still save a lot of water. And if you think about like the higher end subdivisions that go in, and they've got just a little bit of grass, and they've got all these cool trees and shrubs and flowers, if they would just change the plants a little bit, that's a local scape. That's the look we're going for. Have some grass and then just change it out with these plants that do really well in the desert, and they're beautiful. And then people are like, ooh, I got an upgrade on my house, you know? So we do have some home builders that are involved and invested in local scapes. Ivory Homes and Garbett Homes have kind of embraced this. And I know I'm missing one, but I think homeowners or home builders are starting to see this is the way of the future, and we need to get on board with this. And so they're starting to offer that as a package, like not just maybe this is the base and an upgrade would be this. So they're starting to include landscapes in their packaging, which I think is fabulous.
It's hard to stop people from using water. How do you stop people from using water?
Oh, so we have a joke. We have our own sales reduction staff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
that sends shivers down. Yeah. Sales reduction staff.
We're the only company I know of that has that. The nice thing is, Utahns in general want to do the right thing. And we just have to educate them, which we've been trying to do. The thing they don't like is to be told, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. So mandates are not fun. We have incentives. So we've tried incentive programs. But there's a lot of legislation this year about HOAs, home building. And one of them was directly for the state buildings. Any new state buildings going in cannot have just grass. And those that are already existing have to water differently. And so they started with themselves, which I think is so commendable.
That is commendable.
Yeah.
For once, from the top down.
Right.
You know, that is really commendable. Well, I'm happy to hear that. And you know, you never, and like you say, you never like somebody telling you have to do something. You always would rather do something just because you know it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw the signs that were in people's yards last year. Yellow is the new green. We had this program with the state that yellow is the new green and doing our part. And so they didn't want their neighbors to think that they were just not taking care of their lawns. They wanted them to know that we're doing this on purpose because we're aware of the drought.
Now, is that the main focus? If the state and other homeowners were focused that direction, would that be enough?
If they let their lawns go green or
yellow? Yeah, if we worked on, because that's 60% you were saying of like the drinking water. So it's not a problem as far as people wasting water in regards to other aspects, like too many showers. I don't think too many of us are doing that or drinking too much. We have bottled water now, and it seems to me a lot of people don't even drink as much water. But so is that the main devil? When it comes to water use?
I'm going to maybe hurt myself here, but I'm going to say yes, because it's the easiest thing to change.
Mm-hmm.
And if everyone, I'm going to make a blanket statement, if everyone changed their landscape and used even half of what they're using now on their landscapes, which typically people overwater their lawns, if you're watering your lawn every day or three times a day, it's too much. Your lawn doesn't like it. And one of the things people don't realize is most of the grass that we plant here wants to go dormant when it's hot. It's like we're forcing it to do something totally unnatural for it. It wants to go dormant and just kind of go to sleep for the summer.
Hibernate.
So, yeah, it wants to hibernate. Mm-hmm. And so it looks really good in the spring, looks really great in the fall. But if people even let their lawns go dormant in the summer, we would save so much water. I'm not worried about our indoor use being affected because we have enough for that if people change their landscapes. And that's really where we're going to feel the pinch in the future.
I have one follow-up question on that, because you always feel bad, I think, as a homeowner when you let your lawn go brown in the summertime because your neighbors are looking at you like...
Loser.
Yeah, loser.
I don't want you as my neighbor, right?
I got a golf course here and you've got some big, you know, loser lawn. I mean, I feel pressure.
Yeah, for sure.
to keep my lawn up.
Well, and not only that, then people install a water efficient landscape and they don't know how to maintain it. So all of a sudden it's got weeds everywhere and it looks like crap. Yeah. We hear that a lot. And that's true. That's a fair point. We need to teach people differently. And it needs to be okay for lawns to go dormant. And yeah, there's a ton of pressure. I'm one of the few water efficient landscapes in my neighborhood. And I've gotten some grief for it.
Yeah.
I'm not the best maintainer, but I'm trying to walk the walk, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy I live next door to, I mean, it really is like a golf green.
I mean, it
really is. And so I'm just trying to keep mine to make it look average, you know, and it is pressure.
And the people who put a lot of time and money into their lawns, I have a guy who calls me, he's in our service area, and he calls me every year, how are we doing with water? And I sit and chat with him. Yeah, Bill, we're okay this year. He says, I'd hate to see my lawn go yellow because I put so much time and effort into it. Yeah. Invest all this time and money and care into anything. And then people say, you shouldn't do that. It's kind of shocking. And it's a hard thing to change your mindset. We get it.
That's why Scott has Spike the robotic mower so he can keep up with.
Yeah, that's it. I have a robotic mower even, you know, that's mowing now.
To make sure.
Can I ask you about your neighbor?
Yeah.
Is it all turf?
Almost.
I mean, visuals. Here's the good news about this year. We can talk about the drought this year. Our soil moisture is good, which makes such a huge difference. Last year, I pulled up this chart of last year of the state, and it was all red. I mean, I think there were two orange sections in the middle. And just today I pulled it up and the soil moisture, it's green and blue and it looks fabulous. I'm like, oh, because soil is the first reservoir that needs to fill.
Oh, interesting.
When the runoff happens, if the soil is really dry, it's like a dry sponge and it just soaks up all the water.
If this is a problem, and you're saying it is, right? I mean, it's on us. Mm-hmm. It's a problem.
It's here.
But I don't see that much hype about it. In other words, now maybe I'm just, you know, got my head buried somewhere, but I don't ever hear anybody, any of my neighbors or anybody going, hey, guys, we need to conserve water. Or anybody saying that. Maybe they are. Am I not listening?
I don't know why some people don't hear it. I really don't. I feel like we're telling everyone, we're shouting from the rooftop with legislation and the state really starting to pay attention. I think you're going to hear stuff. The good news is we contract with municipalities. We have 17 member agencies. We're actually a water wholesaler with a small retail area.
Wait, you're a water wholesaler?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Okay.
So we go out, we develop the water, we find all the water, we treat the water, and then we deliver it to the cities. And they go, oh, okay, thanks. And then they turn around and sell it to their customers. And we have contracts in place that have been in place for a long time. We revisit them periodically, but we are revisiting them. And any new water that they contract for is either going to be super expensive or they need to adopt a certain set of standards that we've developed that say, we will implement these things. And we can talk all about water efficiency standards on a whole other show, but they're starting to do it. I mean, we've been telling them for a long time and now they're like, oh, it's here. And kudos to them. They're actually embracing it, some more willingly than others, for sure, because it's a big lift. It's not an easy thing to change your entire community from one way of thinking into something else entirely. We've been feeling the heat for 20 years. We've been trying to get conservation on people's minds for 20 years. Whoa. So,
but I think I'm like an average Joe. And you just don't pay attention to anything until they...
You're above average.
What's that?
You're above average.
You're an above average Joe.
Okay, I'm above average Joe. And, maybe it's just there's so many things going on in my life. This is just one of the things that just kind of gets swept under the rug you don't think about. Now, after having listened to you talk about this, well, that, you know, now I say to myself, you know, maybe I ought to be a little bit better.
And now you're going to be one of our advocates, right?
Yes, yes, awesome. Exactly.
Please take a picture next to your lawn and your neighbor's lawn.
I'm marching over to my neighbor and I'm going to say, here's you dog, you.
The thing is I don't see Vicky letting you go without a green lawn.
Well, that's true. My wife, she would want to have. That's it, appearances, you know.
Yeah. That's where your advocacy starts, is at home.
That's right. Yeah.
So Scott, here's the problem. Your water's never been shut off.
No.
You've been able to water and do what you've wanted to do.
That's right.
As long as you've lived there.
Yes. So,
but we can't sustain this. We simply can't. Mm. And we have such opposition to us developing the Bear River. And again, I'm going to say, I agree. I don't ever want to have to develop the Bear River because it is hard to develop a new source. And I hopefully it will happen long after I'm gone from the district, but people have just been able to turn on their water and it's always been there, always been there.
So do you think sometimes it comes down to this because people listen, but they have deaf ears, mm-hmm. so to speak. And a lot of times the legislature has to come in and say, this is what we're going to do. And that's just tough.
Yeah.
Do you see that on the horizon?
It's here this year. There were 3 bills, possibly 4, that specifically targeted homeowners associations because there are a lot of HOAs. They've been one of our hardest targets to reach. They require turf. It's not just, like, no, you have to have lawn. And even some cities, and finally cities are starting to change, which is great. We're seeing some momentum. But they're saying, you cannot say you cannot have water efficient landscaping. So they're now prohibiting homeowners associations from saying you can't.
Putting that in their bylaws.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
So that's where legislation has stepped in, because I think with the last year's drought, which was not unprecedented, like 1,200 years, that something has to change. And unfortunately, some people just don't want to change unless they're told they have to.
Yeah.
As much as they hate that.
Well, we definitely need water. Is there much wells in the state? Do you know?
There are lots of wells in the state. Here's a side note that's kind of interesting for you guys. When I started at the district, there were people who had signed up for water but had wells on their property. And they paid $37.50 for a connection. $37. And 30 years later, they came in and were like, we're ready to hook up. And now the price is like in the thousands.
Yeah.
And we honored it for $37.50.
Dang. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always love it when I hear fun stories about how our government is serving the people.
Well, there you go. What was the other thing we decided to talk about? Good news, I guess.
Yeah, but it's moving forward.
Deer Creek is at 80% as of today. Bad news, Jordan Mill's only at 50. So the good news, so if we're doing good news, bad news, good news, bad news. Good news is the soil moisture is high, so whatever runs off will go into the reservoirs more freely. Bad news is we don't have a lot that's going to run off. Oh. So.
What would be your advice to Utahns about water on a personal level, something that people can do? And we talked about lawns.
The easiest thing that homeowners can do is water less.
When you say that, less meaning?
Once a week, twice a week? Well, so the state has a water guide, a lawn watering guide. Mm-hmm. You go to the state's website. You click on it, it'll say, in this area, you should be watering this many times this week. Mm-hmm. I don't ever water my lawn more than 3 times a week, mm-hmm. ever, even in the hottest, hottest time. One of the things that happens is people set their clock and then they walk away and they just leave it.
Yeah.
So it's set for the heat of summer, but they're watering that much in the spring when they don't need to, and that much in the fall. So the most waste actually happens in spring and fall. You can start with water one less time a week. It can take 2,000 gallons of water just to water your lawn one time. And I think people go, 2,000? No way. I'm like, yeah, way. And park strips, if you flip your strip, here's another easy one. If you have a park strip that has grass in it, go to localscapes.com and we offer rewards, incentives for people to flip their strip. So water one less time a week. Allow your lawn to go dormant. Flip your strip.
I like that. And see, that's practical advice that somebody can get. If they got nothing else from this podcast, if everybody would do that,
We'd see a difference.
Mm-hmm. And that's not that hard to do.
Here's one caution that I will give to people who water every single day. Watering one less time a week won't hurt it. But if they all of a sudden try to go to the state's watering recommendation, like in the middle of the summer, their lawn's going to die. Because when you water a lawn that much, the roots stay really shallow.
I see, yeah.
And you stop watering and it takes time for roots to grow. So you need to start now. You need to start in the spring and water it less and let those roots grow to seek the water deeper.
Good point.
Yeah. So I've had people calling me, I did what you said and my log died. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Do it.
Let's talk about the drought.
Okay. The drought. Last year was bad. We're hoping this year is not so bad. What we're waiting for is the end of the water year, which officially ends April 1st. So we're in a wait and see right now. We're hoping we get a few last minute spring storms that will help out. But I can't say anything more than that. We're hoping for a wet spring.
Has the climate changed? I mean, I don't want to get into, you know, climate change particularly, but that being said, has it gotten hotter and hotter here in Utah over the last 50 years?
Yeah. So we plotted a best fit line and it is increasing. The temperature is increasing. What we're seeing is less snow and more rain.
Yeah.
So that's a good indication that it is.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, I went to school here a number of years ago, and my kids were living out here, and they were talking about all the snow that's out here. But since we've come out here, I saw more snow back east than I've seen here.
Wow.
And I mean, because they have big storms that roll through. I mean, sometimes they're dropping 2-3 feet.
Yeah.
So I've seen more there than I have here, which has shocked me.
It's pretty sad. And I love people, but sometimes they'll say, it's okay as long as the snow's in the mountains and not down here. And I'm like, but because we need snow everywhere. Because down here, now your soil is wetter and that's a good thing. And you don't have to water as much to catch up to keep your soil moist. So we need snow everywhere.
So how is Jordan Valley
Water Conservancy District?
You did the same thing how is Jordan Valley Conservancy planning for droughts in the future?
We just issued a big project with an engineer firm to come up with a drought contingency plan, which actually lays out in, I'll call them levels, drought levels. So if we're at drought level 0, nothing changes. Drought level 1, we reduce our water 10%. And that means our wholesale agencies and our retail customers, we're just going to say, you're getting 10% less water this year. That's real. Sometimes it's like, how do you shut off water to individuals? You can't. You can just say, this is the water we have. And like level 4 is extreme. And that's when we take extreme measures. And I can get the plan for you if you're interested, but I don't know those levels off the top of my head. But we do have a drought contingency plan.
Well, that's good to know. We're not going to be dying out here, Steph.
I don't have my own little yard, so that's where I'm like thinking more inside, what can I do? Just a little bit, you know?
Water sense appliances are good, and I'm not telling you to go replace all your appliances, but one of the ones I hear all the time is turn the faucet off when you brush your teeth. I don't know anybody who leaves the faucet on when they brush their teeth. You could turn to Navy showers, which, why would anyone do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, if you...
I'm not taking that. Navy shower.
I don't know what a Navy shower is, but it sounds bad.
It does sound bad. Not to turn on and get you wet.
Yeah, you turn on the water, get wet, turn it off, soap down, and then turn it back on, rinse off, and then
That sounds terrible.
It is. This is what we're all about, Stephanie, right? Education. Because when you educate the public, a lot of times will respond in a favorable way, but a lot of times they just don't pay attention until they actually get it. The water gets shut off. Yeah. Exactly.
But yes, I totally agree. I just want to give props to Utahns. I think that their ability and their willingness to respond is remarkable. I've been just so impressed when we get the drought message out. They do their part. It's pretty cool.
That's great to know.
Yeah.
Go Utah.
I'm so proud of you, Stephanie.
Even though you have no lawn.
I'm just doing my part, Scott.
I'm proud of you for not having a lawn.
Brown is the new yellow. I mean, what is it?
Yellow is the new green.
Yellow is the new green.
Just a plug for all you homeowners out there. Remember, you get to choose your title company.
And here at Title One, there's a reason why there's a one in our title. Learn all about our colossal closings
by going to askusutah.com.
We celebrate with you in securing a house for your home.